Good morning, John. So a few weeks ago, I woke up in the middle of the night and the room around me was spinning. I hated this a lot. I hated it in part because I know that this is something that's happened to you and I know that you hate it. And I'm like, oh no, is this also going to be a me thing? It's wild. I still think of you as the sick one. Like, John's the sickly brother, not me. I'm healthy. The self is made up. But anyway, I felt like I had like a billion beers or possibly just been on a carnival ride. It was very uncomfortable. It was very bad. I knew that it was probably not like a stroke or something because I'd talked to you about you having this experience. So I thought maybe just laying there would fix it. It did not fix it. I sat up and this almost immediately made the spinning go away. But I still felt off balance. I still felt woozy. I still felt bad. I still felt like I was going to puke. Knowing what I have heard from you and also doing a little bit of reading, it seemed likely that I had had an episode of BPPV, which my doctor confirmed. Benign paroxysmal positional vertigo, which is usually caused by a little crystal from your inner ear shaking loose and then flowing through the tubes that tell you which way is up. Wildly enough, this was probably triggered by my cat jumping up onto the shower curtain and pulling the curtain rod down on my head, which happened the night before. I went to bed and then I woke up with this sensation. It's probably shook loose then, and then when I turned over in bed, that's when it finally triggered it. So, you know, cats, are they worth it? I guess. But that is what happened. And when the crystal is like loose in your inner ear, that can send a signal to your brain that you are moving when in fact you are not moving. While it is happening, it is debilitating. Now I have like 1,000 things that I want to say about this, but I'm trying to make shorter videos. I'm going to fail, but I'm trying. The one thing I definitely want to talk to you about today is for a week or so after this happened, I would stand up after waking up and I would once again have mild vertigo. I would feel pretty crappy. And I discovered that the best thing for dealing with this was like a short morning walk. If I went for a short walk outside, I would feel better pretty much instantly and for the rest of the day. But then the next morning I would stand up and I would feel dizzy again and I would have to go on a nice little walk again. And John, all right, this is what freaked my bean about this whole situation. This is good for me. And I had plenty of time to think about this on my nice little morning walks. I had developed a disease that was otherwise benign. The only thing it did was force me to go on a nice little walk first thing in the morning. I like going on a nice little walk first thing in the morning. It's nice. It sets me up for a good day. It is known to be both healthy and pleasant. And of course, it is something that I would otherwise never do because I want to be in bed until the last moment possible, especially considering I've got like the universe rectangle on my bedside table. So as I went on my pleasant, healthy morning walks, I couldn't help but think, would I give someone money to make me a little miserable until I did something that I both liked and was good for me? And this isn't like always a hypothetical. Like GLP-1 drugs don't work by making you not hungry. They work by changing what triggers your reward pathways and slowing down the emptying of your stomach. You want junk food less, and if you eat too much too fast, you can feel sick. Modern food science hacked food to be too palatable, and modern medicine has now hacked the body to make that kind of food less appealing. This is a powerful and somewhat miraculous medicine that makes people want different things. And so the obvious question here is, would I pay for a medicine that made me want to go for a walk in the morning? And if I didn't do that, I would feel a little sick, but otherwise there were no side effects. Yes. So today, the day that I'm uploading this, is the day after New Year's. People have set resolutions, and there's a greater than average chance that they will fail to achieve those resolutions. I would like to spend more time focusing on consuming long-form media rather than very short media. I would also like to spend more time focusing on long-form work. In general, I would like to have my life defined more by humanity than computer programs. Like, that's kind of a vague one. And I cannot, maybe somebody can, but I cannot make a drug for that. But there are things for that. There are things I do. There are tools I use. This has been a big enough theme in my life for long enough that I have actually worked with people to create things like that, and they have been very successful. Like, Focus Friend is, I know it's not, but it's like a kind of drug. Like, the idea here is that I find it easier to help people who are not me than I do to help my actual self, and I find this is a common trait among people I know. So if I want to stay off my phone, it can't be about me. I need to make it about not bothering a fake bean cat who doesn't exist. But he has a name, and he has a house, and he, like, says cute stuff. And people ask me, like, how did you, like, figure out the psychology of Focus Friend? And I, like, literally, not at all. I was like, it seems like this would work. And it has. Like, it had a bonkers launch. It had a bonkers year. We were the top app in the App Store. We won a social impact award from Apple. We won Google's App of the Year. Like, it sounds like I'm bragging. And I've had people come up to me in public and tell me that they use it for everything from spending time with their kids to studying for the bar exam to watching a movie. uninterrupted by the phone, which they otherwise can't do. And I totally resonate with that. Like, yeah, I agree. And I'm really proud of it. And I think that one of the reasons why it won App of the Year is that there's no ads and there's no data tracking and it's free. And all of those things are also true of the We're Here newsletter. And it's also had a banger year. Like, our open rates are so high. A human curated slice of the internet with information you might see in your feed, but you certainly might not. And I've also started to get compliments in public from We're Here fans, which is very cool. We need tools for this stuff. Science has found a way to push back against maladjusted or weird or messy food pathways. We have not, and I don't think that we will, find a way to do that with content platforms that have optimized the world for hyper-palatable information. But there is no longer any doubt in my mind that that world is hurting us individually, and it's hurting us as a society. These algorithms are amazing at showing us what we want, and they are terrible at showing us what we want to want. We need things that calm these signals. We need them enough that, like, I'm putting a lot of time and energy and money towards those tools because I cannot control it on my own. I've got a big project that I am working on that I'm very excited about that's going to take a lot of time to make it happen. And it's probably not going to be for you, but it's going to be good. And it is in this space and we need it desperately. I want to do the healthy thing that I like more. And I want my son to be able to do the healthy things that he likes more. And the fact that neither of us can makes me frustrated and also scared. We need to find ways to support ourselves and to support other people and having a more human year this year. Like, not everyone. We're not going to get everybody. I'm not confident that there's a way to steer the, like, ship here, but I am confident that I don't have to be on the ship all the time. The ship's going to go where it's going to go, but I'm me, you know? I can make different decisions. We cannot create a disease that makes you a little nauseated when you look at your phone too long. If we could, I would. I'd do that. But we can't. So what we will do instead is we will create structures of social support and we will create tools that help us make the choices we want to make and we will use those tools. That's what we got. Like, obviously we're not going to be perfect, but if we make better tools, we will get better at doing this. And this next decade, I hope, will be about that. It will be about people taking some of their agency back. I like almost have to believe that. Even if I don't think it's true, I have to believe it. And maybe it doesn't have to be like some big society-wide thing. I can choose what it's going to be about for me. And I need that to be what it's about for me. Like, I need my 2026 to be more lived and less scrolled. John, I'll see you on Tuesday.